This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes, as we have a conversation about faith. And on this program, our passion is to explore faith and its transformative power in the lives of believers. We will interview people on this show who are willing to share their faith journey. How did they come to faith? And when did they first know and experience the living God? We'll also discuss some of our favorite scriptures and stories found in the Bible. You can now download the podcast to this program on iTunes, or you can check them all out at wchv.com on the website. They've got all the podcasts. Last week on the show, we had our good friend Joan Hutter, and very powerful testimony as she shared her faith journey and also her faith during her mission trip to Mozambique. It's extremely powerful, so check out that podcast if you get a chance. We also have an email address. It's everydayfaithradio@gmail.com. Please keep your comments coming, and we appreciate all your encouragements, and we welcome your prayer requests. Well, today on the show, we have my friend David Bradshaw from the Fredericksburg Prayer Furnace. We're going to talk with David about his faith journey, how he got involved with the Prayer Furnace, as well as his passion for marketplace Christianity. But before we do that, here are this week's victory verses. This week we're going to start with the book of Romans, chapter 12, which is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I love that verse. I believe very strongly in the renewing of the mind daily and sometimes multiple times throughout the day. That's Romans chapter 12. The next verse we have is from Isaiah in the Old Testament. It's chapter 30, verse 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. And our final victory verse this week comes from Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It goes like this. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a break and be right back with David Bradshaw from the Prayer Furnace.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The Monticello Area Boy Scouts will be holding their second annual Apple Harvest 5K Trail Run on October 11th at 8 a.m. at Pleasant Grove Park in Fluvanna County. The 12th annual Gene Corrigan Golf Tournament to benefit the Charlottesville Catholic School will be on October 13th at Glenmore Country Club. The Culpeper Air Fest Foundation presents the 2014 Culpeper Air Fest on October 11th at Culpeper Regional Airport in Brandy Station. Gates open at 9 a.m. An Orange County High School class of 1984 is holding its 30th class reunion during the Orange Homecoming Game weekend, October 10th and 11th. If your charity or nonprofit organization has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, go to our Concerts Events calendar at WCHV.com.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHV.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today, we have David Bradshaw from the Fredericksburg Prayer Furnace. David, thank you for joining us on today's show.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be with you.
We'd like to start out with the faith journey. If you wouldn't mind sharing with us how you came to faith, and if you could take us up through your involvement today with the Fredericksburg Prayer Furnace.
Sure, yeah. Well, I was grew up in a pastor's family, so I, you know, grew up around Christianity my whole life and, you know, had some level of understanding. It wasn't, though, until I was probably 16, high school, when I started to get really just hungry to know God. It was a season where my family was really pursuing the Lord together, and I realized that though I had a certain measure of faith because of my parents' faith, I had yet to sort of encounter God on a personal level, and so I began a journey of hunger to know God and desire for God. And about 16 years old, it got real strong where I began to pray consistently, God, I just want to know you. I'm hungry for your presence. I want to encounter God. I want to understand your word. And in the middle of that, I had a real significant moment where the Lord met me in a very, very personal way, where I knew that God was real and that God was alive, and He began to speak to my heart. And so I, at that point, was totally transformed and went back to my high school and began to share that with everyone that I met. And it actually started a little bit of a transformation even in my school, where numbers of high school kids began to give their life to the Lord, and that kind of began to develop into this youth movement. It ended up being hundreds of young people from all over our city here in Fredericksburg, and ended up being all over Virginia. We ended up with conferences with thousands of high school, college-age students that were giving their life to Jesus and encountering God, and ended up going back to many of their schools and starting prayer meetings and Bible studies that lasted sometimes 3-4 years. And it was a very significant season. This was moving into the early 2000s. And so I was actually went to university and then graduated and immediately came on staff at a church after college because it seemed to be just the call of God on my life. And so I started leading worship, doing youth ministry, very, very comfortable. But the thing that really caught us off guard was we started doing prayer meetings all the time with our young people, and we ended up trying to pray 24 hours one time for 3 days straight in shifts. So we had 3 days of 24-hour prayer. And in the middle of that, I began to see God move in ways I had never seen Him move prior to that point, where numbers of young people were giving your life to Jesus in a way that I had never experienced before, and just the nearness of the presence of God and His and the way He was revealing Himself to so many of these young people was so powerful. We realized we'd stumbled into something, that God said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer," in Isaiah 56, and I realized that in the place of gathering and prayer, we meet God in such a unique way that it's actually meant to be joyful. And it transforms regions and cities and people groups. And so we just got addicted to prayer. And so we started praying 24 hours a day for 3 days, 5 days, 7 days. Eventually it was 21 days of 24-hour prayer. And just amazing stories and even healing and things began to happen. And then we felt that we needed to actually make that a major focus of our ministry. And we transitioned out and 2009, and we planted this work here in Fredericksburg called the Prayer Furnace, where we have a prayer meeting that goes about 18 hours a day, sometimes up to 24 hours a day. At the moment, it's 24 hours a day, where there's people praying with music and different teams. And we just believe that what Jesus said in the Bible is real when he said, when his people, the elect, cry out day and night in Luke chapter 18, that justice comes quickly on the earth. And we've seen just story after story after testimony of that over the past 5 years. So that was 5 years ago we launched the Prayer Furnace, and now we're 5 years in and going strong.
Can you take me back to when you were growing up? And I'm curious, your parents, it seemed like they were a model for you of faith. And so you're watching your parents walk out and live out their faith. But at some point, there comes this intersection where you realize that you can no longer ride on the back of your parents' faith. And I was wondering if you could touch on that a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. I think the thing that touched me about my parents more than anything was their love for God. And one of the things we would do is you know, I was a typical teenage kid with all the typical issues. But my father would sit us down and he would read these missionary biographies of these just wild stories of the kingdom of God all over the world. And something happened in my heart as just a, you know, at that point I was probably, you know, 13 years old, just a young teenager. But just something began to rise up in my heart where I realized there's so much more. And I remember thinking, if this is the way the kingdom of God is, then I want to be part of this. There was so much joy in it, and there was so much adventure in following Jesus wholeheartedly, and there was such a sense of excitement even in my heart based on just the testimonies and the stories, and it really did put a hunger in me. That was the thing that shifted. It wasn't a negative thing in terms of I realized something was wrong, although that was true, in terms of me just not having a personal relationship yet with the Lord, but I just saw how wonderful God was and began to be fully awakened to just a desire to know God. And I think that's what my parents helped me with more than anything, was just their love for God and the joy of the Lord that they had awakened something in me and made it very personal. And I just began to dream. I remember reading the book of Acts, you know, in the Bible, and just saying, God, I long for this kind of thing where your kingdom is coming, and there's that sense of movement forward and nations are being impacted by the gospel. And it just put a sense of adventure in my heart that never has really left, to be honest. And so that was kind of a turning point for me looking back when I realized this is personal. The call of God is on my life in a very personal way. And I'm grateful for my parents for installing that in me.
You and I share that. My parents were both, to this day, extremely faithful. And I think for any of our listeners, that our parents, our children are watching, and they're watching and they're learning. And oftentimes we are the model, and certainly my parents, were the model for me, for faith. But again, as you and I have both talked about, at some point there's this intersection where you realize, you know, I can only ride my parents' faith so far. At some point, it needs to be my own. I need to, as you had your encounter and I've had mine, at some point it needs to become a personal relationship. Let's go to back to the prayer furnace, 24-hour prayer. We see that in a couple other areas across the country. Is that something you are aware of that was happening, like out in Kansas City and out in Bethel, out in Redding, California, and those places? Was that something that you were aware that was happening there, or did you just sort of stumble into that yourself?
I was aware. I had been aware of the other places, and you're right. It's happening, actually. It's so widespread now all over the earth. In fact, we're in the middle of a 24-hour prayer meeting right now. We're doing 50 hours, actually, through the night for 2 days and all day. And it turns out we're doing it in sync with a bunch of prayer movements in Israel and Egypt. in Syria, in northern Iraq, in Hong Kong, all over the earth, there's these 24-hour expressions of prayer. And I was somewhat aware of that, but it really was birthed in our midst. Even though we are aware of the other stories, God really did it among us sovereignly. It was really a move of God. And so though we were aware of it, it was something that we didn't know we were stumbling into part of our destiny when we started that direction. But the Lord made it really clear along the way that we were to give our lives to this in a very focused way for the rest of our lives. So.
Amazing things happening in Fredericksburg. We're going to touch on that when we come back. We're going to talk about a little bit of the overflow from the prayer furnace, and then we want to get into your marketplace Christianity. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a break and be back in just a moment with my friend David Bradshaw. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. On September 27th, Waynesboro Parks and Recreation Department will sponsor a kite flying day at Conyers Springs Park in Waynesboro from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. Chilling on the Creek is September 27th at Muddy Run Farm in Crozet. It's a concert to benefit Gary Davis, who was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Gates open up at 2 p.m. The Orange County Cruisers are holding their annual Christmas for Kids car show on September 28th from 10 until 3 at Orange County Booster Park on Route 20. Culpeper Parks and Recreation is hosting its 7th annual Culpeper Cycling Century Bicycle Ride on October 4th from 8 until 5 in the afternoon. If your charity or nonprofit organization has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, go to our Concerts Events calendar at WCHV.com.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHV.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today we have David Bradshaw from the Fredericksburg Prayer Furnace. And David, one of the verses that we started the show with today was Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and part of that in verse number 2 says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I want to go with you for a second on this idea of, I had a pastor friend of mine who preaches regularly that transformed people can transform cities and eventually transform nations. And I know that you guys believe that at the Prayer Furnace, but I want to talk about kind of your belief in that, and then some of the tangible overflow that you've seen from the Prayer Furnace flowing out into Fredericksburg and beyond.
Yeah, well, I definitely do agree with that. That passage, Romans 12, is also one of my favorites. And just the idea that the transformed mind, when God renews the mind, then it has the ability to transform regions because we're living out of that. That's definitely happened, and in fact, that's a large reason why we do day and night prayer in the first place, is because not only does it give the opportunity for us to pray for others and pray into situations, it also is an opportunity to just set our hearts before the Lord for periods of time and allow Him to do that transformative work in the mind where we're experiencing the presence of God. It's like another passage, 2 Corinthians 3:18, you know, where it says, "With an unveiled face we behold the glory of the Lord is in a mirror," and then we're transformed into the same image. And so I often tell a lot of the students we have, I say, if you'll position yourself and put your gaze, your beholding on the Lord, your mind and your prayer life and your heart on Him, and engage Him in the conversation, there's no way you can stay the same, because you become transformed into the very image that He is. Mm. And that's one of the most exciting parts, I think, about prayer, is that that's essentially what you're doing, is you're setting your gaze. You're setting your heart into the conversation, the dialogue. And there's no way to stay the same person. Eventually the transformation happens. And we have seen that in our region and all over the earth. I can think of numbers of stories. One real practical one was we were doing our prayer meetings, and we had one night, I think it was about five people came in, and they said they had a strong sense from the Lord. In fact, they had five dreams the night before that all synced up, where God seemed to be saying to pray for God to restrain sexual abuse in our city, and that was just out of left field. I mean, we weren't planning to pray for that. It wasn't on the agenda. But we decided this seemed like God was leading us, and so we began to pray that God would protect people that night, and that God would restrain lawlessness. And as we're praying, the next morning I wake up, and I'm driving into the church that day, and I turn the radio on, and the news comes on, and the newscaster says that the previous night they had arrested a serial rapist that had raped 14 women in a period of 2 weeks. And that it was while we were in our prayer meeting that they found him and arrested him. Wow. And so it was so exciting to our community, because we had been praying something that seemed like it was out of left field, and yet we felt the Lord leading us to do it. And then the very next morning we hear that justice came quickly. A work of transformation happened that very day. And for us, there was no question. It was directly related to the prayer. And so there's many testimonies like that of things that God has done all over our region, including in high schools. And numbers of high schools have been impacted as we've prayed every day for them. Another story is a local church in our city. We begin to pray for this local church by name every day, and just every day lifting this congregation, a large Baptist church in our city, just really contending for them. They had a lot of influence in the city, and we found out after we did that for a period of time that one Sunday morning they had the most powerful church service they'd ever had in their history, and literally hundreds of people were giving their life to Jesus, and it was just the testimony came, and we just felt so encouraged to see a practical example of answered prayer and the power that comes when there's unified, sustained prayer in a region.
David, I'm very grateful and appreciative for what you all are doing in Fredericksburg, but now you're coming to Charlottesville for a meeting this week on Marketplace Christianity. Can you touch on that as we go into the last half of this segment?
Yeah, we are. We really did feel that, you know, the lifestyle of prayer and encountering God and the kingdom of God coming in power is really meant for every sphere of society. And it's not just for people in full-time ministry, and not even just for church settings. And it's God's heart and Jesus' heart to invade every sphere of society with the kingdom of God and the power of God. And radical Christianity, Sermon on the Mount Christianity, is for every believer regardless of vocation. And that God wants businesses to be discipleship centers. And he wants to give business leaders, marketplace Christians, strategies in their businesses, much like Joseph or Daniel in the Bible, where they had strategy because of their relationship with the Lord, where they could actually excel in their sector of society because of the presence of God in their life. And then they would begin to be a righteous influence for the kingdom of God. And we believe strongly that it's God's will to raise up leaders that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that are filled with righteousness in every sphere of society, and to teach them and to help them and serve them so that they can live radical Christianity in whatever sphere of society they are, and then get strategic understanding about what the Bible says about, for example, wealth creation and the purposes of God in the marketplace, and just believe the Lord has a heart for these things and a purpose in them. Not just to make anyone rich per se, but to advance the kingdom and to see the purposes of God and the values of the kingdom of God infiltrate cities and regions. And so our lunch on Friday is for that, and then we have a gathering here in Fredericksburg for Virginia on October 24th and 25th called Marketplace Christianity, and we're bringing in some leaders from around the nation. One of them's in Kansas City, and his business grew 20%. Every month over the course of years, and he became one of the most well-known, successful businessmen in the Kansas City region, and yet he was a lover of God, and his business became almost like a revival center. People were being discipled, and God was leading the business to success so that he could be an influence in society, and he also discipled and reached out to people in the context of his business. Powerful, powerful story. So he'll be coming, and a number of others. His name is Bob Frazier from Kansas City, but and Bob Hartley as well as the other leader coming. And so we're really excited about this gathering. We believe it's significant for Virginia, for many marketplace leaders to begin to hear the testimonies and connect to God's heart and purpose for them in their sphere of society that God has called them.
Well, it's interesting your encouragement because we sense that here in Central Virginia that God is doing something really big here in the Charlottesville and Central Virginia area. We're seeing some rapid church growth. We're seeing believers that are placed kind of in some strategic areas of influence in our city, and we're seeing just what you described, the marketplace Christianity, where it's faith is not just a Sunday issue anymore; it's an everyday. And we're seeing people live it out and model it here in Central Virginia. Tell me about what you see God doing in the state of Virginia, as I know you pray for the state.
Yeah, I'm working now with leaders all over the state that just have a heart for unity and building friendships across the state of Virginia. We have an initiative called 24/7 Virginia, which is basically it's groups that are committed to prayer meetings from all over, all kinds of groups, whether it's a prayer meeting at a local church or a youth prayer meeting or some kind of other house of prayer kind of expression, but all working together to build a 24-hour prayer collectively across the state of Virginia. It's a really powerful thing beginning to build where most of us can't do 24-hour prayer in our own church or our own ministry or business or whatever by ourselves, but if we all join together across the state, we could build a prayer meeting that never stops. And so that's what one of the exciting things, I think, going on in Virginia. And with this Marketplace Initiative, we're recognizing that God wants marketplace believers to also be praying believers, and that that's part of normal Christianity and just an encouragement to them in their everyday life. And so we're seeing some real powerful things all over the state of Virginia, both in terms of empowering people in evangelism and in the marketplace to influence society, and also building gatherings of prayer all over the state of Virginia.
David, as we close this program today, if any of our listeners are trying to get their arms around faith and are newer to faith, is there one particular verse that comes to mind for you that's just a favorite that you would say, hey, go to this verse and just explore it and see what it does for you? Is there one that you would point to?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a tricky question. There's so many good ones. But, I think a big one for me would be Psalm 27:4. It's the psalm that says, where David says, one thing I've asked of the Lord, and that will I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, inquire in his temple, and to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. And that might sound like strange language for somebody that's maybe a brand new Christian or just walking out their faith, but really what David is saying is he's saying that God is so wonderful and so beautiful and so fascinating that it's worth making the pursuit of knowing him and experiencing him. It's so better than every other thing. He says it's the one thing. There's no plan B, and nothing comes even close to being a second thing. It's so significant. He says there's only one thing I'm really asking for. And it liberates us, I think, to say, to pursue God with that kind of wholeheartedness. I'm absolutely gripped with that one thing. I'm going to give my whole life to, like David says, see the beauty of the Lord, which just means to experience and to know what he's actually like.
David Bradshaw, thank you. David, thank you so much for being on today's show. We're going to get you back. Everybody have an awesome Sunday. We'll see you next week.